May I speak in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, on this second Sunday of Easter, we continue to celebrate the joy of Jesus' resurrection and to reflect further on what that means. Those of you who were here last Sunday may remember that I said then that the resurrection was not so much a happy ending as a new beginning of something big and the beginning of something personal. During Eastertide, we begin each service with the acclamation, Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Christians all over the world make this joyful affirmation of faith. Jesus' resurrection is the beginning of something big. It's because of the resurrection that Jesus' disciples believe in him and have a new message to proclaim. They preach passionately about the death and resurrection of Jesus, and this is how the church is born. It's because of the resurrection that we are sitting here in St. Ursula's this morning. If the story of Jesus was simply the story of an inspiring man who taught us how to love one another and then who ended up dying a cruel and painful death, we wouldn't be here in church today. In fact, there would be no church at all. The existence of the church and of the Christian faith itself stems from belief in the resurrection. It's because the early disciples and Christians down the centuries believed that Jesus is risen and is alive amongst us that the Christian faith has grown and spread throughout the world to many different places and cultures. So when we say Christ is risen, we are united with millions of Christians, past and present, all across our world. The resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of something big, not only in the birth of the church, but also in his triumph over death and the beginning of a new creation. As Peter says in our reading from the Acts of the Apostles, God raised him up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Jesus is raised from death, and so we too will be raised from death. And in the end, all things will be made new through him. The resurrection of Jesus is the beginning of something big, something huge. But Jesus' resurrection is also the beginning of something personal. Last week, we read about the encounter between the risen Jesus and Mary Magdalene. Jesus calls individuals to follow him and to meet him in their different needs, their joys, and their sorrows. So last Sunday, the focus was on Mary Magdalene, and this Sunday, it's on his encounter with Thomas. There is the big picture and the personal encounter, and we see both in today's gospel reading. The risen Jesus appears to the disciples as they gather in fear behind locked doors. The disciples were scared. They were scared of the Jewish authorities and maybe the Roman authorities too. What might happen to them as followers of a failed Messiah who had been arrested and executed? So they hide behind locked doors, nervous and fearful. Into that situation, behind those locked doors, as they cower in their fear, Jesus comes and stands before them. Into their fear, he speaks words of peace. But much more than words, the sheer reality of his risen presence must have brought indescribable peace and joy, hope and courage. But it's as they gather together that Jesus comes among them with his promise of peace and his call to mission. He addresses this promise and this call to them as a group. As the Father has sent me, so I send you, and you is in the plural. Then he breathes on them his spirit. On this, the first day of the week, Jesus breathes on them his spirit. There are echoes here of Genesis, where right at the beginning of creation, God's spirit hovers over the deep. And the book of Ezekiel, when God breathes his spirit into dead bones to bring them back to life again. Jesus breathes his spirit on the disciples to give them new life. This is the beginning of the new creation. And the disciples receive this new life together. They are brought together as a new community around the figure of the risen Jesus and filled with his spirit. The resurrection of Jesus and the receiving of the Spirit is the beginning of the church. We don't believe on our own. We need one another. We belong to one another. And it's together that we can embody something of the life and love, the peace and hope of Jesus. Our faith in the risen Jesus is the faith of a community. In today's reading from Acts, we see something of the life of this new community. As we heard in our reading, the disciples preached passionately about the death and resurrection of Jesus. They also lived together as a community, eating together, worshipping together, even sharing their possessions. Jesus' resurrection and the gift of the Spirit brought them together in a new way. Perhaps we sometimes need to remind ourselves of how important it is that we trust in and follow the risen Lord together. The church is not an optional extra, but an essential part of our discipleship in following Jesus. We may not always feel like getting up on a Sunday morning, coming to church. We may feel there are other claims on our time, but it is important to gather together week by week to worship our risen Lord, to receive from him and to be equipped by him. However, the community of the church, then and now, is not just a mass of people in which the individual is lost and insignificant. In our gospel this morning, we see not only the importance of the community, but also of the individual. When Jesus appears to the disciples the first time, Thomas is absent, and he's very skeptical when they tell him that they've seen the Lord. "I'm not going to believe you lot. I need some real proof," he says. Now, Jesus could have thought, well, as long as there is a core group of believers, what does it matter if one of them is doubtful and drops out? But he doesn't. He appears again to the disciples a week later, again on the first day of the week, specifically to respond to Thomas's questions, his doubts and anxieties. He doesn't write Thomas off as a doubter who just doesn't have enough faith. Jesus again speaks words of peace, inviting Thomas to put his finger in the wounds on his hand and his side. The risen Lord is also the crucified Lord. Jesus' resurrection has not cancelled out his death on the cross. This is no ghostly spiritual presence, but the living Lord, truly present in his resurrected body. And Thomas responds with a personal confession of faith. "My Lord and my God." Thomas affirms that Jesus is not just the Lord, but my Lord. And we too are called to make that personal affirmation of faith for ourselves. Can we, each one of us, say from the heart, as Thomas does, "My Lord"? Although Jesus responds to Thomas's need to meet him for himself, he goes on to say, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." We cannot see the risen Jesus in his resurrected body for ourselves. We cannot put our fingers into his wounds. We believe the testimony of the first disciples, as we read it in the scriptures and as it has been handed down to us. Nevertheless, although we cannot see him for ourselves and although our faith rests on the testimony of others, the risen Jesus continues to call each of us by name and to make himself known to us in a personal way. The risen Jesus meets each one of us as we are. Whether we come in deep grief, like Mary, or doubt and skepticism like Thomas, Or maybe in guilt and remorse at our failures, like Peter when the risen Lord meets him on the beach. We are not all the same. We come with different gifts, personalities, experiences, and Jesus responds to us differently according to our need. We see this in Jesus' earthly ministry. Although he often taught very, very large crowds, he also responded to each individual in their particular need. Think of Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree, the paralyzed man brought in by his friends to Jesus, the woman caught in adultery, or the Samaritan woman by the well. These are encounters with particular individuals, and no two encounters are the same. This is also true after Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He appears to groups of people, and we've heard in our gospel today how he comes among the disciples as they gather in fear behind locked doors. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians that Jesus once appeared to 500 people at one time. But Jesus also meets individuals in a very personal way. Mary Magdalene, Thomas, Peter, the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. So as we come to communion today, let us pray that each one of us will come prepared to meet the risen Jesus for ourselves as particular and unique individuals. Let us come real and honest about who and where we are at the moment, bringing our joys and our wounds, our faith and our doubt before him. In him we are given new birth into a living hope. In him we are offered life and joy, even in the face of suffering and death. But let us also remember that we are drawn together before our risen Lord. We are part of the body of Christ here at St. Ursula's and across the whole world. The risen Jesus brings life, hope, and peace to each one of us as an individual. He also brings life, hope, and peace to us as a community of believers, a community which encompasses the whole world. We are part of something big and something personal. Peace be with you.